we go with Harry Cooper. All right, look under Harry's name there, and you'll see Harry Cooper, exclusive tour inside Adolf Hitler's Argentine home. Should make that more specific, one of his Argentine homes. This was the first one, approximately 1945 to 1955. Beautiful location, unequaled, heavily guarded, built by the Mercedes family, and no one has gotten into that house that I know of but Harry Cooper and the realtors who were trying to sell it. Originally, I think for $40 million, I think they knocked the price down to 20-something, but right. it's quite a place. Go ahead, Harry.
Yeah, that's correct. It had been on sale. Well, first off, before I forget it, I want to deviate a little bit. I want to give a bit of a shout-out. The other day when I was at my favorite restaurant here, sitting at the counter waiting for my food to come up, I got to talking to a guy sitting next to me, mentioned some of the products that Jeff sells on his show without saying his name. And then I said I was on. My exact words were, I'll ask Jeff about it when I'm on the radio show on Friday. And he says, Rents, you're with Jeff Rents? I listen to that show all the time. So here's a shout out to the guy that was at the counter at Red's Restaurant. I hope you're listening.
Well, indeed. Yes, thank you for that. And it's always nice to know that there are people out there, and they're all over the world, who listen because they want to learn. And that's what we try to do here, is help people understand reality. I don't even like to use the word truth much anymore, Harry, because it's so twisted and corrupted. Reality is what we're after, and that's what you do so well. So, thank you.
Thank you. That's what we do. The only people that I know of that have been inside this estate since Hitler and Eva Braun moved out in 55 would be the caretakers or the owners or whatever you want to call them. Other than that, to the best of my knowledge, there are no photos inside the house except these you're going to see here. This was a huge, big estate, and the reason it was so much money, $40 million they were asking at first, and then it came down to 20-something, and they're still trying to decide whether or not the deal should go through. I haven't heard about it in the last 6 months. But you've got the big manor house here that you'll see, but back in the woods there are guest cottages, and there's a huge chunk of property, and it's right on the shore of Lake Nafahuapi, up a cove, just a beautiful place. The Andes are right behind the property, so for people who want to go skiing, and we've seen pictures of Hans Ulrich Rudel. And
with one leg.
Yeah, with one leg. And Otto Scorzini, and they're skiing up there in the Andes when they came to visit Uncle Adi. So, Rudel was there to help rebuild the Argentine Air Force. He and
Kurt Tank?
Well, yeah, Kurt Tank was there, but not as a military guy. He was there as a designer. But the three military guys, Rudel, and Adolf Galland, who was a member of Shark Hunters until he died, and Werner Baumbach, who was commander of Kampfgeschwader 200, which is where they had all the secret planes, too, the rocket planes, the jet planes, and all that. So they were here, and they were not being hunted by anybody. They were military guys. But the lake is in photo two. I'm standing almost with my back to the sandy beach.
I think the larger picture we want to draw about looking at this gorgeous house, built by the Mercedes family, but think of all the people, name people, who visited there.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be a kind of a constant stream of people from the old country who survived, who escaped, would come and pay their respects, as you say.
There was a huge contingent in the nearby town. Hitler's actual, he was closest to Villa Langostura, but at the other end of the lake was San Carlos de Bariloche, and it was a German town.
Uh-huh.
And there were a lot of SS men there who formed up Hitler's personal guard, and we had dinner with the son of one of them, Erich Priebke, who had wound up being outed by Sam Donaldson, you know, the newscaster with the fiberglass hair.
Oh, what a weirdo.
Yeah. So anyhow, Erich Priebke wound up spending the rest of his life in house arrest in a very nice apartment in Rome, guarded by two beautiful young lady carabinieris. And every day he'd go for a walk in the park across the street, and if he wanted to go shopping, no problem, they'd go with him to the supermarket. Mm-hmm. So it was not really a behind bars kind of thing.
Right. All right. So, well, this now look at this house. It just speaks Bavarian architecture. It's gorgeous. Yeah.
Yep. And this is where our member Don Angel Alcazar de Velasco went in September of 1952
uh-huh.
to bring the file on the two children he was watching, Adolfo and Stern.
You heard that right. I don't mean to interrupt, but
yeah. He
was watching two children on orders,
right.
And he was reporting back. Now, you'll have to draw your own conclusions about why he would be watching a little boy and a little girl who were being raised in the States, and why he would report to Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun. Why?
Yeah. You say, draw your own conclusions, because every so often somebody misquotes us
right. And
says that we claim these were Hitler's kids. No. We did not claim they were Hitler's kids. Maybe they were, but we have no proof one way or the other. We did, one of our members, doggone it, I can't remember his name, he finally tracked down the woman named Star, which Stern means star, the only girl named Star in the Las Cruces school district at that time. Turned out she was a very famous movie actress. I don't know what her maiden name was, but she married Edward Herman, who was also a famous actor. And we tried to get in touch with her for the last 2 months. Every time we'd call, we got the message saying, nobody's home and the mailbox is full, call back. And she had six different addresses from New York all the way to Idaho. So we wrote to her at every address, and all six came back saying, not here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still...
Well, whoever these two kids were, she's showing a profile of someone who doesn't want to be bothered. And that doesn't mean
sure
she was one of them, but that, maybe it's just celebrity, that when you're married to someone famous, I don't know. But, leave her alone. Don't mess with her. We don't know. It could have been very close friends of Hitler and Eva Braun that they were watching over their kids for them. We don't know. We just don't know.
We have no idea. And incidentally, this lawn is where... I took these pictures in 2008, long before that little fat twerp came out with the book that they made the TV series out of.
Right.
And in 2009, as you know, we were standing, I had 10 people with me, we were standing on this lawn, and the boat captain come goose-stepping past me with his right arm in the air. It caught me by surprise. I said, what in the hell are you doing? Hell was not the word I used, but the word I used can't be said on radio. And he said, I know who lived here. And he put his finger under his nose like a little mustache. I said, yeah, how do you know that? And he said, my father was the caretaker, and I grew up here, and I know who lived here. And with that, he went goose-stepping back towards his boat with his arm in the air. And we found out he was the son of Ludolf von Alvensleben. We can't find him again. I sent off an email just about 4 hours ago to my friend Martin down there to start looking for this guy again. So, because I want to go down there. I'm going down there, as I said, in March, mostly to go up into Paraguay with the two doctors, Franco and Christian, to dig further into all the places where Mengele had been. And we found a bunch of those. Especially the big resort where the five Mossad agents came to kidnap him and wound up with their throats slashed and their bodies dumped in the jungle. And I'm also going to be visiting with Lawrence DeMello, probably the number one expert in the world on Martin Bormann. So, but I'd also like to get down here and visit this again with my camera and also the remains of the secret nuclear research laboratory
facility. Yeah, they had a lab there. It was on a little island in the lake.
Right, on Huaymul Island. I always mispronounce it. Huaymul Island. They started this in 1947, 2 years after the end of the war. And a good friend of mine is the former director of the Argentine Atomic Energy Program after this place went out of business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, thanks to him, I've got free run of the island. So that would, you know, if we can drum up the buckos.
Right, right.
So anyhow, this is his manor house. Doggone nice looking place. And photo two, that's another shot of the front of the house. And behind me where I'm standing is the lake. There's a whole bunch more photos of this on our website, but not the interior photos that you're going to see in a minute. Go to sharkhunters.com and then go to previous tours. You see all these photos.
Now, don't look ahead yet. Don't look.
Don't look ahead.
All right.
So we switch up to number four. Now, that's around behind the manor house. It's a big place. I never counted the rooms. I don't know why. It just never dawned on me. But it's a big place. And it was the interesting thing, in the letter I got from Don Angel Alcazar de Velasco in 1986, I think it was, a 114-page-long letter, typewritten, single-spaced, which formed the basis of our book, Hitler in Argentina. He mentioned how he came down there in September of 52 with the file and the two children. And, of course, it's the dead of winter in Argentina. And he described the buildings when he landed with the plane on skis. He described the buildings and everything, and it's exactly like this compound here. He said it was in Antarctica, but that's your typical spook spy disinformation. Okay, and number five, it's the back of the house again, taken from up on a hill.
Now, I don't want to say that those are solar units panels on top because they don't look like it, but they're either to prevent leaks from getting through the top at the peak of the roof.
Yeah, it was black visqueen is what it was.
Looks like it, yeah. So there may have been leaks in there, and they're covering that up. So don't think it was a solar installation. It wasn't.
No, but even if it was solar, it would have been later if somebody, but it wasn't. It was visqueen to stop the leaks.
Mm-hmm.
Now you go through Germany now. Holy smokers, all these 200, 300-year-old homes, their roofs are all covered with solar panels. They're doing solar all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I might do that here in Florida, too. We got plenty of sun. Well, not this winter. Okay, rolling on up to number six. That's another shot from the back of the house, the hill behind the house, and there you see the lake out front. This is a finger of the lake that comes up. It's a huge lake, and Lake Nahuelhuapi. Huapi, it's Nahuel and Huapi, the two different kinds of animals. One is a tiger, or so, I don't know. Anyhow, beautiful fishing lake.
Well, Whoppy sounds like crappie, so maybe that's fish.
I don't know. They told me once. I forgot. Now, you get a better shot of the house. You see on that lower roof, it's all covered with visqueen.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So they were having leaking problems, and nobody was living there to take care of it. It must have been gorgeous when it was up and running. And they were all self-sufficient, as we'll see in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Here, number seven, that's also behind the house. That's our boat captain, not the one that you know of. This is just a fisherman who was a friend of, he was a friend of Abel Basti.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave us a ride, me and Noel Coca gave us a ride out here. And he was just coming out of the portage between the houses.
Now, you can see in picture number eight, the sign there, it says, don't enter.
Well, it says, shark hunters are welcome. You have to learn how to read Spanish the right way.
That's right.
And that's Nahuel. Nafel Coca. He was my guide and my help for 2008, 2009, and 2010. But then his father retired from the family business. He took over the family business, and so he doesn't have time to guide us. And so we've got Martin now. Okay, we roll up past.
Harry. He's the one to get in touch with. All right, enough said.
Yeah, I know. I'm having trouble getting contact with him. So anyhow, it says don't enter or unless you're a shark hunter. And this is what's inside. Number nine, that's the generator. It's in a little building right near the main house.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't hear the generator running. They also had a little sluiceway going through it and a paddle wheel to where the water came through pretty fast. It would turn the wheel and assumedly generate power for the...
Wait. That generator was powered by that little waterway?
Is that... Yes. That's what
they
told me.
Interesting. I don't see any fuel tanks there, so it may have been. There's stream coming down from the mountains, and they just channeled it right through there, and
Right, and they made it narrow enough to where the water was running really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that is the generator that was there, because that sucker looks bunches old.
Very interesting.
Number nine.
Yeah.
And number 10, there's a closer-up picture of some of the machinery inside that little building.
You know, the rubber belts have been replaced.
Yeah.
Somebody had that thing working or trying to have it work at some point.
Right. And all that stuff on the floor, that's rat poop. And we were told by the boat captain we should not go into the boathouse because the floors were just covered with rat poop.
Yeah.
And I said, well, so what? We won't put our hands into it. He said, no, you don't even want to breathe the air.
No, there's a you can get a fever, a very bad infection from the mist and the dust that comes off rat droppings.
So we stayed out of the boathouse. Okay, number 11. With the door shut, then number 12 with the door open. That's a furnace. And this is another building right literally like 40, 50, 60 feet from the main house. And this is where they heated the water that they ran through the pipes into the house to heat the house.
Yeah, amazing.
Very clever.
So it was a hot water heated house.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. And in Europe, even today, all the homes are steam heated.
Mm-hmm.
The old hotels are all steam heated, so it was just the way they did it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we roll up to number 13. Ah, there's Cooper saying, "Hey, follow me." Damn, I got a fat stomach there. I got to fix that.
Looks like you're selling admission to get in.
Yeah, just. Waving at Nahuel, and of course Nahuel took the picture, and I says, come on, let's go. No, he says, I'm not going in there. Okay, so he stood outside for whatever. I don't know.
He actually wouldn't go in.
No, he didn't want to go in. I guess he was afraid they'd get arrested or something.
Huh, all right. Okay.
And I always cop out by, saying...
I don't read or speak Spanish. Sorry.
Right, which is true. I don't. I get along with my German down there, but not Spanish.
All right, number 14.
We're going up the stairs.
You walked in. Did you basically walk in that door that you're outside of, that entry, or is this another entry? Okay.
No. I went in there to go upstairs, but also there was a doorway, if I remember correctly, off to my left down at the bottom of the stairs here that went into the main house. You'll see photos of that in a moment. But I went upstairs, and there was a kitchen upstairs. Who puts a kitchen upstairs? I don't know, but there was a kitchen upstairs.
A full kitchen?
Yeah.
And a kitchen downstairs, or the kitchen was just upstairs?
I don't remember seeing a kitchen downstairs.
How interesting.
Yeah.
Now, who went up and down those stairs, do you suppose?
Oh, boy. And you look closely at the stairs, and they're showing wear.
Oh, they're well used.
A little bit of dips there.
Yes.
With shark hunters, you're walking in the footsteps of history. You really are walking in the footsteps of history. And if you let your mind wander, let your imagination take over, you can see people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People of history.
Yes, indeed. All right, number 15. One of the, looks like a bed. A
yeah, it's
single
in
bed.
One of the bedrooms. They, mm-hmm. they had pretty sparse accommodations. And if you remember, last show I showed you the accommodations in that resort where Mengele used as kind of a
right.
home base.
Right.
They were sparse beds.
Right.
Nothing fancy. And I've slept in some of those beds down in South America. They're comfortable, but they're just a bunk.
Right. Right. Look at that. Now, what we're assuming here is that the furniture you're seeing in these pictures is the same furniture that was there in 1945 through 55.
I'm guessing, right? Yeah. The mattress probably was changed. You go to number 16, you see there, that's a...
It's a newer mattress, yeah.
Newer
but,
mattress.
But the bed frame, bed frame.
Right, but the fire mattress, that don't look new.
No, it doesn't. No, I got a magnifying glass, I can see. Look at the bedposts, all right? Look at the wear and tear on that.
Right.
Those beds have been there a long time.
I'm cheating, I don't need a magnifying glass. I got a 30-inch monitor.
You did cheat.
So I can see what I'm doing.
I have a 15, and it half the time it's on the fritz. I'm afraid to make changes. I'm such a technological Luddite. I just, every time there's something new, I'm afraid it's going to be too complicated. They always build too many tricks into these things. Things you never use.
I know it. I had this one built by my daughter's former dearly beloved just before they broke up, and he was a computer genius.
Mm-hmm.
And he built me a really, really fine computer for a lousy $800 was all it was, and we put this monitor with it, and it's been mm-hmm. working fine, but they went their separate ways, and so I can't call him when I need an update.
Got
it. A computer shop in town here. The guys are great, so...
All right.
Just call them up every time I screw
now,
something up.
We're going to go through the break, Todd. I want to make sure we get all these pictures in because these are really unprecedented. This is, for those of you who just joined us, this is the home that we believe, and so do others who were there, that Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun moved into when they escaped from the bunker and got out of Germany in 1945, then April, May, and this is where they went.
Knowledge, these are the only interior shots.
Yeah.
And the more I look at this number 16, the more I look at that fire mattress, that ain't no modern mattress.
No. I can look at it. Well, you got a 30-inch monitor, but that's obviously lumpy and old. It's probably filled with something like goose down or something.
Could be. I had a girlfriend when I was in the Air Force, and I'd go out to visit her on the weekends at her parents' farm, and they gave me the big goose down bed. Boy, oh boy, it was so comfy, you just mm-hmm. disappear down inside that thing. And they had this monster thick quilt goose down. You just go into that sucker, and it could be 20 below zero, and you never feel it, because they had no central heating in that house
yes.
in Nebraska.
I'm certain you always, well, you managed your manners correctly, too, of course.
Well, I did, because her parents were there.
That's right. All right.
The only heat they had was a pot-bellied stove in the dining room, and they burned corn cobs.
No kidding.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. They had no telephone. They had a pump in
their
kitchen at the sink. And the bathroom, the toilet was outside in the little room with the half moon on the door, and they didn't
That's
have toilet
funny.
Paper. They had corn cobs.
Come on.
I'm not kidding.
See, that's too much.
It was...
This is what, in the 60s?
No.
For 50s?
Well, let's see. 50,
yeah, 58, 59, something?
Yeah, that's right. 58, 59.
Funny.
He'd plow with horses.
Corn cobs.
Yeah. That's another whole long story.
Never mind. All right.
Yeah, never mind is right. But I'd go out there. I had a big Harley, and the deal was I'd give See, her uncle had a farm nearby. I'd give all the kids rides on my Harley, and then he'd let me and the girl have a couple of horses, and we'd go riding out in the countryside. Anyway. Peaceful. Nice.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. Okay. Number 17.
17. Yeah, you can read into that. With
that's
a real
that's the upstairs kitchen, isn't it?
No, not with a toilet. You ever see a kitchen with a toilet?
I'm sorry, it's this 15-inch monitor. I can't tell.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's a sink and a shower.
I see it. The shower is there must have been a curtain there at one point, but I do not see in the floor a drain for the shower. I'm going to assume it was a bathtub that was sitting there. Because and you can stand up and take a shower in a bathtub, but there's no floor drain. It looks like a wood floor, and they probably have a pipe that I can't see, and that went through the floor and wherever. But that looks like a fill. See, there's a fill spout for the tub, and there's an off and on. Then you got a shower way up on the top. So there you go. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember. It was a long time ago. It was 10 years ago.
And what's with the toilet seat? What's that? Is that just some design work on there?
It's strange. It's like mold.
No, I got the black stuff, but I mean that ridge on the top of the toilet seat. It's just odd, strange. Is that to grab it?
No, I wouldn't think that was to grab it because it's just a raised section. It might be for, you know,
style.
Strength.
Style.
In case somebody wants to sit on there while they're putting on their shoes.
I would think, yeah, there you go.
I don't know. I'll have to go back there and see.
Now, let me see what else I see in here.
I don't know how easy it's going to be to let myself in 10 years later because there have been a lot of people tromping around there trying to buy it.
Right.
And somebody sent me a picture that was about 2012, 13, something like that. The whole place was covered with volcanic ash. I don't know where the hell this came from because there's no volcanoes down there, but it was like 2 or 3 inch thick. All over the ground.
They must have had a fire.
Well, it could have been. Could have been. But 2 or 3 inches thick in ash.
There's something in the tile there. You see it? It's open. I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
something
I see it.
Is open there. It's a valve or it's a control. It's something.
Just to the right of the mirror.
Yeah, I don't think it's a thermostat, but I don't know what it is. It looks like there's a little hinge kind of a thing, and it's open.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe it's it's me. I know. It's where you mail your letters.
Out of the bathroom. Right.
Right.
Yeah, I have no idea. Maybe it's a hidden camera for, you know, weirdos.
Uh-huh.
Probably not.
All right.
I'll have to look when I go back again.
All right. Now, this was maybe this is not, would you say this was the master bath?
I don't remember where it was located. I'd be hard-pressed to try to remember.
All right. Now, here's the part that I want. This is number 18, and I want you to look at that. That table belongs in my house, or your house.
I think it would cost you a ton of money to get that sucker shipped up there, even if somebody gave it to you. I'll bet you that thing literally weighs half a ton at least.
You know what? I'd make it happen.
Okay.
I would make it happen. So 6 chairs on each side. There'd be a chair at the head and foot of the table, and you can just imagine what kind of dinners were held there, if that's the original table, and how could it not be?
Not kidding. Once you get that thing in there, it ain't going nowhere.
No.
That's solid oak.
Yeah, or something else. That's big timber.
Yeah, and even Arnold Schwarzenegger wouldn't be able to pick that guy up.
It would have to be probably sectioned in the middle. There may be some bolt work underneath holding the two top pieces together, be my guess. And you could take it apart that way. And then, it's pretty, pretty darn rustic, pretty amazing wood.
I'll tell you what, if I win the lottery, I'll go down there and buy that place and you can have the table.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All I got to do is win the lottery.
Yeah, that's it. I wonder if anybody actually does win the lottery or if these stories that appear in newspapers are just to keep people buying tickets.
Well, I can speak from here. When we first moved to this part of Florida, some years ago.
I know people win. I know.
Yeah, this old man and old lady were living together here. He gave her a dollar, told her to pick up a ticket. She picked up the ticket. It was a winner for a few million. And he says, oh, good, we can live well now. And she says, oh, no, goodbye. So then they started fighting. It's my dollar. No, and the lottery people said, well, we don't care who paid for it. It's the person who shows up with it. So nobody got the money. They both died while the lawyers were fighting over
no
it.
No kidding.
But, yeah, by the time they, you know, the kids finally got around to it, there was nothing left. The lawyers got it all.
Look, I know this is not a misogynist sort of comment, but what the hell's wrong with that woman? Give the guy half. Whatever. Jeez,
yeah.
Come on. Anyway.
They'd lived together for quite a while.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Oh, and then also the guy who owned the 7-Eleven in the next town over, he won about $7 million. He was from India, and they were interviewing him, and they said, are you going to go back to India now and live like a king? Oh, no, I will bring over all my relatives, and I will buy many more 7-Elevens. I put them all in the 7-Elevens. So, yeah, they do win it. Unfortunately,
yeah.
I ain't one of them.
Not yet. Look at the sofa on the left, okay?
Yeah.
A long, straight-back sofa. That's 1950s style. That's very plain, very stark. Late 40s, 50s. It's not ornate. You can see it. It's very straightforward.
As I recall, when I was young back in those days, they called that the Scandinavian style.
Right.
And usually stark with just some wooden legs, and that was it.
Look at the big beam next to it, Harry. That's got to be, what, it's bigger, it's 14 by 14, something like that. That's a big beam. Wow.
Yeah. And,
Straight up. There's another one opposite it on the other side, it looks like.
Off to the right, that's correct.
Yeah,
holding up the upstairs.
Yeah.
And look at the cross beams up in the ceiling to the left of the left beam. The place was built solid.
Yeah, see, that's European. Now that everything's nothing wrong with it, they're glue laminated beams. They wouldn't be solid wood like that. It's
right.
Too expensive. So they're glue lams. I've got a lot of beams here, and they're some are glue lams, some aren't. But I looked at that right away. That upstairs is built. Boy, is that built. Look at that.
Yeah, and this house was built before they had glue laminated stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They had to have the real thing.
That table. I'm sorry.
You're obsessing over that table, aren't you, Jeff?
Yeah, I want that table.
That's a gorgeous table.
Yeah.
I can't say I'd want it. I wouldn't know what to do with it, but you'd have better use for it than me.
No,
If I had it here, my wife would just find more junk to pile on top of it.
Well, I would find something to put on it, I'll tell you. I wouldn't have big parties. I don't have any friends. But I'd still like to have that table.
Magnificent.
Yeah. And if the table could talk.
Oh,
wow.
Boy. Oh, boy. Here in 19, you get a better shot of that sofa.
Mm-hmm.
And I figure because there's plants in there, the caretaker was coming in to take care of them.
The table is off to the right, okay,
yeah.
in 19. Back of that sofa. You see the two chairs side by side? That's kind of reminiscent of European style, Scandinavian. And that would be where, possibly, if you want to let your imagination go, Hitler and Eva Braun would sit back in their chairs and talk.
Yeah, there wasn't much else to do because there wasn't no TV down there in the 50s.
No, people still use their minds.
Hardly anywhere.
Yeah.
But you can see the ceiling beams also in that shot.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking right straight through out the bay windows on the other side. And out those bay windows on the other side,
right. That
goes up the hill behind the house.
I see. Now, number 20, we're on the back side of those two side-by-side chairs.
Yep.
Fireplace, enormous fireplace.
Yep.
Huge mantle, big hearth. And they're looking right out the window, which would be toward the lake, I assume.
That's correct, but because I had a cheap camera, I couldn't modify the lens to see the lake out there.
Right. Okay. We're walking through, in all likelihood, Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun's residence, their home. in Argentina. Now, how many programs give you that? Not many.
That's for sure. Look at that hardwood floor, too.
Yeah, it's spectacular. Go ahead.
If I win the lottery, I'm going to buy it. I'll give you the table.
I would absolutely buy it if I had that kind of money. And that's a great place to go live. And sure. Look at that vertical piece. It's actually an entire tree trunk. And the limbs have been cut off. And I don't know what it's holding up or why. But that's interesting, too.
Probably the ceiling.
Well, one would think.
And
there's
there
now the wait. There's that bathroom.
There's that bathroom.
It's a downstairs bath. Unless you're back upstairs again.
No, we're downstairs.
All right. Well, that's a downstairs bath.
And there's another tree trunk too, opposite the one that you can see so easily, at the front of that wall.
I see it. You know, it's different. Looks like a different color, treated differently, or the natural wood color is different. Very interesting.
Maybe a different kind of wood down there. Who knows?
Yeah. Different flooring in the bathroom. It's a red. It's probably wood, but it's got a different coloring finish on it than the wood in the dining. It's not dining. Maybe it is dining there. I don't know.
Or the parlor.
The parlor.
They had a lot of guest rooms there, too.
Look at that. All right. Now we're in 22.
22.
You're in another bedroom. Looks like a bedroom closet.
Noel finally got over his fear of getting arrested, because that's him on the left.
Uh-huh. Look at the door. Interesting construction. Solid wood door, two and a half inch thick door, interior doors. I would suggest that European doors were like that, too. And the walls, some kind of dug fir. I wouldn't call it knotty pine. It's some kind of fir.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. And on down the hall, it looks like, is that outside down there?
I think that's in between the houses. There's a walkway.
No, that would be a breezeway. You're right. Okay.
Okay, breezeway, yep. I'm old and feeble. I forget things. Breezeway.
No, you got it. All right, 23. That's another fireplace. That's not the same one.
Correct. That's another fireplace. And if you look closely, that little white rectangular spot there, off to the left, that was a small heater that has been removed, a radiator.
From the hot water from the outside building.
Exactly.
Look at that. I wonder if that floor, Harry, is wood. I can't tell. I can't see striations of wood. I can barely see them. I don't think it's concrete. It's some kind of wood, and they've got it treated with some heavy red pigmentation of some kind. That goes way back. Now, I remember when they left, the residents, they took everything with them, of course. There's nothing there. The ceiling is a canary yellow. Very interesting.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it was 1955. Everybody down there who was hiding out had to scramble, because 1955 is when Juan Perón got overthrown.
And Hitler and Braun left this house and went north.
Right. Right. And then many of them went to what that comedy show, the Hitler hunting Hitler thing, said was the remains of Hitler's house up there in the tri-border area. It was not. It was just a safe house, because from there, you look west and you can
see that raunchy house out in the middle of nowhere falling apart.
Yeah, all it was a bunch of, the stone walls was remaining. Everything that was wood was gone. Immediately to the west was the river, and on the other side was Paraguay.
He wouldn't leave this house and go to that, for goodness sakes. Come on.
He left and wound up in Cordoba province.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now that dumbass show says he was living in Ecuador. Huh? Whoever heard of that? You know, they keep, it's going to be a one-season show. Now
Never heard of it. Now they're milking it for all they can.
Right. They're in their fourth season. Who knows? Yeah. Next year they might find that he was living in Las Cruces.
Yeah, or Los Angeles.
Maybe right down the street from me here in Inverness, Florida.
Could be. Number 24 is an updated bathroom. Somebody somewhere updated this bath. Look at the bathtub. All right. See the armrests on there? They didn't do that in the 50s.
Yep. The pipe, the pipe might be the original one. I don't know. But that sink sure don't look new.
No, the tile is tiled over. See, the bathroom back edge tucks up and under that bottom row of tile squares. So that was tiled. That was new tile put in by somebody at some point when they put that tub in there. Because they have, there's a flange on the tub where it goes under tile like that.
Right. And I'm not sure the bidet was there from the Hitler years. I don't know.
Don't know. Okay. But now we're back in the big living room.
26.
With the 25.
Or 25, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's... that's that place where the radiator had been sitting, where I told you. And just to the right of this picture was the big stone fireplace. Not the main room, but the other room that we saw just a few spots ago, number 23.
You know, if they did turn that place, that plot of land, into a resort or something, how could they possibly think of doing anything but making this home into an historical piece? But use, if they need to, use part of it as a guest registry. You know, the main desk and all that.
Yeah. Or, anyway. or a recreation
whatever
parlor or something like that. Just don't hurt it.
Now, here is a picture number 26 for all of you who are back there somewhere in the firmament watching this, kind of going, how do they know? Well, this picture is for you.
Yeah.
This picture is approximately 1947.
Yep.
You tell them.
Yeah, 1947, taken, we believe, in the annex of the Hotel Eden, which is in the little village of La Falda in Cordova province. And the guy who's back to the camera is Walter Eichhorn, and the lady to the right is his wife, Ida Eichhorn. They own the Eden Hotel, and they, especially Ida Eichhorn, was sending tons of money to Hitler in his early political days, helping him to move to the top. And this was in 1947. And Hitler looks pretty good for a guy that committed suicide 2 years before. And as for what Jeff was saying, how do we know? I do this 12 hours a day. This is not a hobby, and I don't look in other people's books to see what they think. I go there. I've been to South America 9 times already in the last 8-9 years. I've been to Germany and Austria twice a year, at least every year since 1988. I know lots of these people. I've met lots of them. I have first-person interviews, some on camera, some not. So it's not theory. It's not speculation. It's hardcore fact.
Indeed. Okay, so there you go. There's Adolf Hitler, 1947. And as Harry said, he looks pretty good for a dead man.
Yep.
All right. Next up, we got an interesting drawing and a little sequence of pictures that'll follow that. We'll get through those as quickly as we can. We got time. So, the drawing. Tell us about the drawing.
The drawing was done by, and this is something that, another whole direction. This is something, a drawing that was done by Huldine Goebbels. She was not poisoned. She and her mother, Magda, fled to South America. And this was at a farm where they lived for a while after the war, before they moved into another area. And this is an aerial sketch done by Huldine. And she was up in a plane that was piloted by Hanna Reich when she did this sketch. And when we went there last year, in July, colder than hell down there. That's winter for them. You'll see that marshy or that scribbly area in the middle and the square box. Well, you look to number 28, that's that marshy area, and right in the middle there's a box buried. And so that's something we're going to be looking for when I go back in March to dig up that box. And much as it would, I would love to have it filled with Nazi gold, quote and unquote. No, we don't think there's any gold in it. There's just a lot of historic artifacts, newspapers maybe, stuff like that. So are coming back in March, we hope. And the fellow there, Pascal, he's our Paraguayan contact.
Uh-huh.
David is the grandson of the owner of the farm, and he took us out there. And everything on that farm is exactly as Holden Goebel sketched it, I think in the 1960s or something like that. So it's exactly like she sketched it.
Wow. Well, whatever's buried in there was important and is probably still there. And yeah, okay. And Holden Goebbels was one of the Goebbels children who all died at the end of the war, including Holden. She's another one who did very well afterward, even though she had passed on.
Right.
And came up with a book of her life, basically, which is a gigantic scrapbook full of drawings like that, illustrations like that.
Right, that's a photocopy of the page in the book. I held that book in my hands. That book is like about 8 inches thick with all sorts of drawings and notes and comments by Holden. One of the reasons that she was not executed, I'm quite sure, is because it's 990% sure her father was Adolf Hitler. Because Magda Goebbels was screwing around with Hitler,
right?
And Joseph Goebbels even wrote in his diary that it was breaking his heart that his wife and his Führer were getting together like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, he was out with all the starlets.
Right.
He had a separate wing on his estate.
Yeah, he had no room to bitch. None.
Right. So, and he was even public with, who was it, Lidia Barova, the, I think she was Czech or Hungarian, the movie star, gorgeous woman.
Uh-huh.
And he even told Hitler he wanted to divorce Magda and marry Lidia Barova. Hitler told him, forget it, it ain't going to happen. And then Lidia Barova got a visit from the Gestapo and told her that she better boogie on out of there. And so within a day or so, she was gone back to where she started from, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, I forget which.
Wow. Okay. Now, the hotel that Harry mentioned earlier is shown in number 29.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing about this hotel, it's huge. It's out in the middle of nowhere, and I mean nowhere. And 29A, if you look, is a drawing from Holden's book. And if you look at 29, oh, James has pictures duplicated here. Look at 29B.
Well, first off, let's look at 29A down in the lower right-hand corner.
Yeah.
Holden put the date 1962 when she sketched that.
Wow. Well, there you go. So who was she going to meet at that hotel in 1962?
Anybody's guess, but we know Mengele used that place as one of his base of operations,
right.
And we know from the lady I talked to last July that she saw Mengele there and Bormann and Hitler, and I forget whether she saw. Yeah, she saw. I think she said she saw Gestapo Mueller there also, and they would be meeting with Alfredo Stroessner, the dictator of Paraguay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that hotel was another meeting ground for people to come and stay for days, maybe weeks, and talking. There was a lot of money down there, remember, that Bormann brought down and others. So they had wealth, and they were always dealing, I'm sure, with how to manage that money, how to make more money, and whatever influence they still had, which was probably considerable. So,
They had so much money.
Yeah, you can see 29B is, you see the arched entries. That's on part of that hotel. There were apparently more, but they were bricked over with those stones. And if you look at the drawing, 29A, Holden's drawing, you can see there were probably arches all up and down that wall. But that's what she drew.
29B also off to the left of 29B. I just didn't get them all in.
Ah, okay. There you go. Very good. Okay, number 30.
Okay.
Interesting.
30, this was the house where Heinrich Gestapo Mueller lived until he died, and the house has stood empty ever since he died in 2000 or 2001, something like this. And this is all from the research by Lawrence DeMello. I went with her to this place in July. We rode a bus. Oh, God. Except it didn't have pigs and chickens on it, but it was a lot like the one you see in Romancing the Stone. And we went through all sorts of little villages named Santa this and Santa Poco or Santa something or another, huh, and got here. And so this is something we're planning in March. We're planning to come back. She is trying to find out who has the key. I think it's a cousin or a niece, or no, a niece, I think, of Mueller, who lives in a larger city nearby.
Uh-huh.
And so Lawrence is going to try to contact that person and let us go in there.
And
we never take anything. We're not grave robbers, but take photos like mad.
Right.
Look at everything, make notes.
Well, this has been
history.
What you've seen tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is something that probably without Harry Cooper, no one would have ever seen or certainly come across. But now we know. And so thank you again.
Without our angel, we wouldn't have gotten there. So we need a new angel. Jack has passed on.
Well, Jack, if you're listening, thank you endlessly.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, indeed. All right, Harry, thank you, sir. That was great. We'll talk to you next month. Remember, the Southern Patrol, the last one, next September, end of September, early October. You can find all the information. Look under Harry and guests or go to sharkhunters.com. And also, we're looking for a videographer, somebody who can do digital video and record and memorialize this coming patrol as the last one. So think about that, because we'll reduce the rate for you and take very good care of you. We just need somebody who's good, who wants to go, who likes history.
Yep. Send me an email, sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com.
Very good. All right, amigo, take care. Talk soon. You be well.
My pleasure. Right. Have a good day and stay warm up there.
Yes, sir. All right. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Mr. Harry Cooper. And we will be back with more after this.